Welcome to the solar gate call for the equinox in the northern hemisphere. It is fall or autumnal equinox, the solar gate of Mabon. In the southern hemisphere, it is spring equinox or the solar gate of Ostara. This solar gateway is exact on Sunday, September 22nd, 2024 at 8:45 a.m. Eastern time. Adjust for your time zone accordingly. And I am sharing this solar gate call public access, so I'll be sending it out. We've got a very big 1/8 of the year incoming. And for those of us in the United States of America, this period of time takes us to the presidential election. The next solar gate actually starts November 6th, and election day is November 5th. So in my country, there's a lot going on. We're heading into a very big portal, but also the astrology is pretty massive. So I figured I would share this call and, tune in. If you enjoy the gate calls, they're part of my membership service. I will include a link to the membership. I'm writing this down so I don't forget. And the membership includes weekly horoscopes, lunar, monthly, yearly, solar gate calls, which is what this is, lunar gate calls. So every new moon, there'll be one coming for the new moon eclipse, October 2nd, and also the monthly forecast. So I write a weekly forecast. It's free public content, very detailed, goes up Sundays, sometimes Monday morning. But the monthly forecast is also in depth and usually always quite long and gives detail for each day of the upcoming month, and that's membership content. So I'll include a link below. You can check it out. Also, from the equinox until September 30th, I'm actually having a discount, a 25% off on all on-demand courses. So Astrology in Your Shadow, Embodied Astrology, Stargate Mystery School, The Alchemy of the Astroid Goddesses, my Foundations of Astrology series, my Intermediate series level 1 and 2, and then I'm also including in that Calling in the Light that I've just taught. I'm actually in the midst of wrapping it up. Access will actually open to that course on demand starting October 10th. So if you purchase that one, you're not going to be able to access the classroom until October 10th. But all the other classes, if you purchase them, you get immediate access. And I will just include links below so you can learn more about it, find them. The coupon code is 25 off, so 25OFF. And it's good until the end of the day, September 30th, 2024. And please make sure to use the coupon code. If you forget to use the coupon code, I can apply the difference to other courses, membership, but can't do refunds. So make sure you use the coupon code. All right, let's dive in. So if you're new to the gate calls, they're usually about an hour, sometimes a little more, sometimes a little less. I start by just telling you what the solar gates are. If you're new to them, just kind of like the download on it. If you know them, you know, it'll be a reminder. Then we'll dive into the meaning, symbolism, and mythology of Mabon. So I do focus these calls from the Northern Hemisphere perspective, but I will also mention some important points about Ostara if you're in the Southern Hemisphere. The season is different if you're above or below, but the astrology is not different, and where the sun is transiting is not different. So in the Southern Hemisphere, they have spring with the sun in Libra. And then also the sun in Scorpio and Sagittarius, the whole season of spring is 3 months. Whereas in the Northern Hemisphere, our fall is Libra and Scorpio and Sagittarius. So the Libra part is the same, regardless of where you are. And so a lot of what I'm going to be talking about is focusing on Libra and the scales of balance and some different pieces connected to that. So that'll apply no matter where you are on the planet. I'll talk about this gate of truth and balance, which is what the Mabon fall equinox gate is. And I have some sharing on the tarot card, the justice card, which is a very evocative picture of the gates of truth and balance. I'll talk about some deities at this time of year to tune into. I'll look at the chart for the ingress of the sun into Libra. And again, that's going to be same no matter what side of the hemisphere you're on. It's going to be same visuals in the chart. Then I'll talk about the major astrology from this solar gate to the next one. For us in the northern hemisphere, it's from fall equinox, Mabel, to Samhain, the dark of the sun. For those in the southern hemisphere, you're actually going from spring Ostara to Bealtaine. The astrology will be the same though. So it doesn't matter the seasonal gateway, the astrology, we're all getting the same things, and there's some big stuff coming in. I will give you some offerings for journaling, ritual, shadow work, and then we always close with a guided meditation. So sometimes people listen to the teaching portion of the call while they're commuting or exercising or whatever, you know, moving about in the world, but listening. And then they save the meditation for before bed, you know, later on that evening or first thing in the morning. Other times people listen all at once. Whatever's good for you is totally fine. So, you know, do it as fits your schedule and your needs. So let's dive in. So if you're new to the solar gates, they're essentially the journey through the wheel of the year. So the focus of the solar gate calls is that we're focusing on the sun and the journey of the sun. And the sun is the source of life and light on Earth. And if you look at the journey of the sun from, let's say, winter solstice till the next winter solstice, that would be a full circle. Often it's conceived of as beginning at winter solstice, but there's actually two other times that beginnings can be seen as well. And if you take that wheel of the year and divide it into four, you get the solstices and the equinoxes. So the full year of the sun's journey divided by four is the four seasons. But if you divide those four in half, you get eight, and those extra four are the cross quarter days. They're the high points of the season. So right now, we're at the equinox, we're at the very beginning of fall in the northern hemisphere, or the very beginning of spring in the southern hemisphere. But it's going to be the next solar gate, November 6th, that's the midpoint of the season for us in the north. It'll be the midpoint of fall for you in the south. It'll be midpoint of spring. And these are all turning points and threshold moments in the sun's journey through the wheel of the year. The full solar cycle represents cycles of life, death, and rebirth, of light and darkness, the light half of the year, the dark half of the year, ascension and descension. I see winter solstice through to summer solstice, the half of the cycle that's about ascending and reaching for the highest light that we get to at summer solstice. But the moment summer solstice is over, the sun is actually going to start descending very imperceptibly. But if you've got, you know, the right scientific measurements, you'll see it. And then we'll see it over time, right? Over several weeks, we'll start noticing the days are getting a little shorter. As we head into late summer, it's definitely not the high, you know, moment of the summer solstice. And then as we move into fall, then we fall into more darkness. So the light and dark, ascension, descension, even enlightenment and embodiment, the two halves of the cycle of reaching for the light. But you don't just get the light and then float off the planet. You bring the light down and in. You embody it. So it's two sides of the same journey. It's kind of like the yin and yang, or the two sides of the coin. So the solar gates are doorways or thresholds, and it's seasonal, obviously. You know, the solstices and equinoxes are about literally the beginning of the seasons, and then the midpoints are the height of the season, the midpoint of the season. But there are also doorways and thresholds in terms of the occult and the mysteries. And they can be very magical and mystical. So we are working with the solar gate of the equinox in this call. But I do eight calls of these throughout the year. And we journey through the wheel of the year. And then we circle back again and start again. And as I mentioned earlier, there's two other times that are often seen of as beginnings. Well, the next one is actually Samhain, which in the northern hemisphere is our next solar gateway. The ancient Celtic people sometimes divided the year into halves. It was the light half of the year, the dark half. Or they called it summer and winter. There was just two seasons. And the turning point of heading into winter began at Samhain. And they saw all of life being created out of the deepest darkness. And so it's at the darkest part of the year, or heading into the very darkest part of the year, which Samhain truly is, that they saw as the beginning. And then the other beginning would be spring. So for us here in the Northern Hemisphere, our other beginning could be the next solar gate. But if you're in the Southern Hemisphere, this is your spring, because Sun into Libra is the spring equinox in the Southern Hemisphere. And that's another time of new beginnings or rebirth or resurrection. And it is the beginning of the astrological new year. The tropical astrology system sees Aries as the first sign of the tropical zodiac. And so that's a time of beginnings as well. So we will be moving into and through this gate of truth and balance, of Mabon, of fall equinox. And the next gate is actually the dark of the sun. It's the gate of death, final descent. And then at winter solstice, we have the rebirth of the sun. For those in the Southern Hemisphere, you're actually heading into the gate of resurrection, spring. And then you'll head into the union fertility gateway at Bealtaine in November. So different seasonal energies, but the astrology will be the same. So we look at the equinoxes for the moment the sun moves into 0 degrees of Aries or Libra. And Aries in the Northern Hemisphere would be spring, Libra is fall, it's reversed in the south. And these are the 2 days where there's equal day, equal night on the planet. Earth's axis is not tilted towards or away from the sun on the equinoxes. So there's equal day and night at all latitudes. At the equator, the sun is directly overhead at noon on the equinoxes, and it's not in other times of the year. So it equalizes everything. That's where we get the name equator, equal, equus, but also equinox. Equus is equal, nox is night, equal day. At the fall, which is where we are in the Northern Hemisphere, the sun will actually cross the equator from the Northern Hemisphere into the Southern Hemisphere and will enter into the dark half of the year. So another way of dividing the year in half is literally with the equinoxes. For those in the Southern Hemisphere, again, you're heading into the light half of the year. And so from our Northern Hemisphere perspective, we're heading into the underworld where night and darkness is going to take over. It's a tipping point. Literally, Libra scales, it's tipping us into the dark half of the year, into the direction of darkness. And now is the time that the earth will start turning inward. Summer's gone, winter's coming. It's very clear. You see the leaves changing color. You see them falling off the trees. The days start getting cooler. Of course, barring, you know, global warming, there's obviously a lot of things happening that have not been normal because of a human activity on the planet and disrupting things. But from a balanced nature perspective, this is the time that the earth starts to turn inward. The darkness is not fully here yet, obviously. That'll come as we get into winter, and even in the Samhain season, you'll really feel it starting to take hold. But we feel it coming. And it's an inner transition that will reflect in the outer transition of Samhain, the dark of the sun, next gate, when we really do have a lot longer nights and shorter days. From here until winter solstice, or from here until summer solstice for those in the Southern Hemisphere, we have one quarter of the sun's journey. And from the Northern Hemisphere perspective, it's the last quarter. So you can actually overlay the wheel of the year of the sun. You can overlay it with like the moon cycle. So the new moon would be winter solstice, the new sun. The full moon would be summer solstice, the full sun, right? Because we have a full sun on summer solstice, longest day of light, lots of sun, you know, very external. Winter, on the other hand, very cold, darker, way earlier, stays dark longer depending on how north of a latitude you live in. I remember for 1 year I lived in Washington State, and my great-grandmother was up there and she was ill and going to be passing, so we moved up to be closer to her. And in the winter I remember the sun wouldn't rise until like 9 a.m. or maybe it was even 9:30 a.m. We were up really, North United States, and then it would set around 4:30 p.m. It was crazy. And I'd be out in pitch black darkness to get the bus to go to school, and my school was 5, 10 minutes from my house, so I wasn't like commuting for an hour to get to school, and it would just be I'd be out in the darkness, and it was kind of trippy for me because I'm from Hawaii and that's where I grew up, and that's close to the equator, so days and nights are more equal there than they are in other places, and we don't have the same disparity with the seasons. We have rainy season and dry season, but we don't have like day full of darkness kind of experience. But that's one of the ways to really start to understand the darkness pulls you inward. It's like a bear in the winter goes into the cave, whereas lots of sunlight, we want to be outside, we want to be doing things, we want to be busy. So be aware that fall equinox, especially those in the northern hemisphere, we're starting to head into this inward phase that's really best honored by giving ourselves time to be inward and reflective and, not just going, 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 doing, 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 busy, 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 and never stopping to rest, to turn within. So we are heading into the dark of the sun energy. The next gateway will officially be that. And from here on out, we have later dawns, earlier sunsets. The arc of the sun across the sky will get lower in the sky, shifting south. Birds will start to migrate south to follow the sun. Days will get shorter, they'll get cooler. And we end a year's cycle of growth and we head into the fallow period. So it's a time where we want to lay fallow, metaphorically, spiritually, but also in terms of like even agriculture and the natural growing cycle. That's what you would do with the land. You'd let it like take a break and you wouldn't grow during the dark, of the sun period of time. So this descent into darkness that we're heading into, we have this choice. Are we going to choose to do it consciously or unconsciously? This is a time of balance, the Libra scales of balance, but it's also a time of reckoning. We need to face the dark, the losses, the need to let go. It's not just yang, 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 outer, outer, outer. We need to balance it with yin and inner. So we bring our energy inward, we turn within, we prepare for the winter ahead, we store what we need for the hibernation ahead, metaphorically speaking. Obviously, most of us don't hibernate in the winter anymore. But we did anciently not hibernate like a bear, but there would be more staying inside, especially if you live somewhere where there's a lot of intense snow and not electricity, where it was easy to warm up. Of course, if you're in the southern hemisphere, you're not heading into this time. You're heading into moving into more light. So you're in a different phase. So the solar activity at the equinoxes is known to increase. So most magnetic storms actually occur during equinoxes. There's more solar flares, there's more influx of solar energy. Earth's Hertz frequency increases, and then there's a decrease in Earth's magnetic field. And because of that decrease in the magnetic field, we actually are opened up to receiving other energies from other dimensions, from past future converges, from the stars, from the sun. It's like more able to get into and through us. And so it's actually a really magical time to be kind of tuning in on that level. There's a quote by Sadhguru. He says, "In the yogic tradition, the equinox is seen as a day when one has the best possibilities of transcending the limitations and compulsions of one's physical longings." So we can transcend our lower self, lower egoic desires, not the soul's desires, the spirit's desires, but the part, the desires that kind of get us, keep us stuck in karmic patterns. Mystically, it's an amazing time to rebalance the scales. The scales are definitely connected to the Egyptian goddess Maat, who, is seen with scales. And when you die, you go down in the underworld and you face her, and she balances your heart on one side of the scale with the feather of truth. And if your heart is heavier than truth, you actually don't get to go, you know, to heaven or to the afterlife. Like, you need to go back and reincarnate and rebalance things, or you get, you know, thrown into the, I forget what the name of the deity, the interesting amalgamation deity that's supposed to like eat you or something, their own version of hell, I guess. But I look at things more mystically. It's the hell is what we create on earth with our consciousness. So you don't go back to hell. You just go back to where you got stuck and repeat things, you know, so you can hopefully break free. You come back again. This balance of day and night happens right before the darkness of Samhain takes over. This is one of the three harvest festivals. So the first harvest festival was at Lugnasa, August 6th. The second harvest festival is at the equinox. The last one will be at the next solar gateway. So all the planting and the cultivating and the growing that began since spring comes to this point of fruition where now we're harvesting what is available to harvest and store. You know, we take some, consume it. We have some harvest festivals. We share the bounty, but we also store for the winter ahead, which was really necessary anciently, because anciently we didn't have false light and refrigerators and, you know, airplanes that could fly strawberries from Mexico in the dead of winter up here in the north. So like what we grew and what actually was available for harvest informed what was even available for us in the winter, informed if we could even get through winter. So it was kind of a big deal. So traditionally, the first harvest was grains, the second was fruits, and the third was nuts. But again, today our harvesting and the things we grow and harvest are kind of all over the map. It's not as aligned seasonally as it used to be. So at all of these harvest festivals, it's a great time to give thanks for the fruits of the earth, for the abundance of Mother Earth. Now, Mabel means great sun. And the great sun's mother was seen as Madrone or Gaia, the earth mother, and Mabon was the child of light. The name for this season is supposed to have been coined in the 70s by Aidan Kelly. And Aidan Kelly also coined the term Letha for summer solstice. Previous to this time, it's so far the ancient name has been lost and people aren't quite sure. But it was celebrated, and it was a time to celebrate the aging goddess. She moves from mother to crone. Her consort, the god, he is going to die. He gets sacrificed with the last wheat that's cut. And then she will get pregnant again, or is pregnant. She will be getting pregnant again, and will rebirth him. So he is her son, also her lover, her partner, and he just keeps getting reborn, lives and dies, reborn, lives and dies. And she eternally moves from youth to mother to crone and then starts over again and rebirths him. So this journey, when we're following the solar gateways, it's not just the journey of the sun. It's also the journey of the mother and her son. And that's an important piece that I like to make sure we reclaim when we're working with the gateways, because a lot of times the ways that they're celebrated is very patriarchally inclined, focus on the gods and kind of losing sight of the goddess balance. So this equinox solar gate is a time to rest after the hard work of harvesting and also be aware that we reap what we've sown. So that's part of the Libra scales of balance, right? We're shown the truth of the fruits of our lives. That's the gate of truth and balance. So if what we're sowing, or rather reaping, sorry, right now, is not what we wished we were reaping, we need to look back at, well, how did we sow? Where did we sow? Were the conditions right? Did we tend things properly, water it, take care of it, both literally in terms of plants, but also metaphorically? And if not, then maybe that's why what we're reaping right now is not what we wish we would have reaped. Maybe we sowed seeds of discord or disharmony or anger or aggression or God knows what. And then what we're reaping is a result of that. So this is a time to complete things, So we can move into winter ready to turn within, so we can finish old business and truly rest, retreat, renew, reflect in the dark part of the year to come. What's interesting is that in the dark part of the year, it's often a really super busy time of the year for, you know, modern humanity. There's a lot of travel. There's holidays and shopping. And in the United States, there's Thanksgiving. And then there's, you know, Christmas. And then there's New Year's. And then there's Hanukkah. And then there's, you know, if you have a different tradition that you celebrate for the return of the light. And these are all beautiful celebrations that honor the return of the light, but if they keep us outside, constantly going to parties, constantly traveling, shopping, spending, externally focused, we're actually missing out on one of the biggest parts of the season. The reason for the season, as they say, is to turn within. So being aware of that is important as we move into this time from the Northern Hemisphere. So this is the gate of balance, and it's the same gate regardless of what hemisphere you're on, because it's Sun and Libra, equal day, equal night, equinox, but also the Sun in Libra, which is the scales of balance. And spring, for those in the Southern Hemisphere, is the gate of resurrection, because you're tipping into the light half of the year. Fall is the gate that takes us into the dark, and so we fall into the dark half of the year. We spring into the light half and we fall into the dark half. And this is the gate of the sun when the sun moves into Libra. The images of the scales. It's the only constellation that is not human or animal. All the other ones are human or animal. Anciently, the scales of balance were always seen as being in the pinchers of the scorpion, or actually being the pinchers of the scorpion. So a long, long time ago, thousands of years ago, Libra and Scorpio were seen as one constellation. So the gate of truth, the Libra and scales of balance, evokes the Justice card in the tarot. And the Justice card in the tarot is the Libra card. And it's a card that teaches us to take responsibility for the truth of the actions in our lives. It's a time of honest self-reflection, really being willing to see and face the shadows. It can be a very deep and profound time if we're willing to dive deep and face things. If we're running away from the truth of ourselves or the truth of situations or relationships or dynamics in our lives, then the coming dark season can be pretty intense as we get dragged into the underworld that we're refusing to look at. This is amplified right now by the fact that the South Node is in Libra, the karmic South Node. And so the shadow of South Node in Libra is, let's sweep it under the carpet to keep the peace. Let's just make sure the, you know, appearance and the surface looks great, but let's not look at what's behind the door or under the rug. And that can get exacerbated during this time. When I get to the astrology, I have a lot more to say on that, because we have some big South Node triggers and some big rock the boat Libra astrology. So the Justice card in the tarot is a really interesting card. And I'm going to share a few quotes from the late Rachel Pollack's book, 78 Degrees of Wisdom. It's arguably my favorite book on the tarot. And she passed away a couple years ago, I believe. She's really good, though, with the tarot. She and I had a few email dialogues together at certain points. So this is a quote she has under the Justice card. We advance according to our ability to understand the past. This depends on seeing the truth about ourselves and about life. So the Justice card in the Libra season is a time to find equilibrium between understanding and action. We are formed by the actions we have taken in the past, and we form our future selves by the actions we take now. One of my favorite quotes by Swami Nisargadatta is, it was a different Swami, sorry, and I forgot to write his name down. But anyhow, if you want to know about your past lives, look at your present life circumstances. If you want to know about your future lives, look at your present life actions. So the way to understanding lies in responsibility. By accepting responsibility for ourselves, we can free ourselves from the past. We can only get loose from the past by becoming conscious of it. We can't ignore it, sweep it under the carpet, pretend it's not there, and get free of it. Otherwise, we actually will repeat past behavior and attract the same karmic circumstances into our lives over and over because of what's unresolved. So the mantra of Libra and this, you know, gate of truth and balance is evolve or repeat. Do we want to evolve or do we want to repeat? And this is important collectively right now as well as we look at the welfare of the planet, the wars and the things that are out of balance, you know, in nature and in human consciousness and more. So before we can find release from the past, we have to accept the justice of our lives. We are what we have made of ourselves. We have to accept responsibility for where we're at. We can't just blame everybody else. Oh, it's their fault. It's their fault. They did this. Our parents did that. That person did this. No, we have to take responsibility and accept the truths revealed through shadow work, inner work, initiation and awakening. Wake up to who we really are and what we've done. We cannot rise above the past until we become accountable for it. Rachel says our supposed free choice is governed by our past actions. If we do not understand ourselves, how can we expect to make a free choice? Only by seeing and accepting the past can we free ourselves from it. Sometimes the idea of free will is used as an excuse. So we need to work on the causes within ourselves for the things we do and the ways we react. If you pull justice in like a card reading, tarot reading, it's typically showing you that events have worked out the way they're meant to. What's happening is based on results, decisions, actions taken in the past. We need to be honest with ourselves. Our actions in the future can be changed by a lesson fully learned in the present. But when this card is reversed, we can be in a place of dishonesty with ourselves or others, unwilling to see the meaning of events. And it shows we're missing some opportunity for greater understanding about ourselves, our responsibility in our lives. We can't use unfairness as an excuse for denying responsibility for what happens to us. No one can save us but ourselves. So kind of some heavy but also necessary human lessons, right? And Libra season can deliver them. So two deities to tune into. There's many actually that are great for this time, but I just want to share two. One is Maat. I mentioned her earlier. She's the Egyptian goddess. She's a goddess and a concept, actually. Her name means that which is straight. And she rules cosmic order. She regulates the stars, the seasons, the actions of mortals and gods. She has a white ostrich feather in her hair. And then she weighs that feather against the heart, right, on the scales. And she has seven laws and 42 principles. Her seven laws are the laws of truth, which is also the law of honesty, justice, the law of harmony, the law of balance, the law of order, the law of reciprocity, exchanging with others that's mutually beneficial, and the law of propriety, which means correct behavior. She also has these 42 principles. You can actually Google them. Say 42 negative confessions of Maat is how it goes, or negative declarations. So the 42 statements say things like, I have not stolen. I have not lied. I have not betrayed or cheated. I have not done black magic. So they're negative confessions. You're not saying, I did steal, I did lie. You're saying, I have not. And the point of this is to negate the energy. It's like making a statement, and maybe it's not true for you. And if it's not true for you, notice your body will tell you. It's really interesting. I remember I learned these from someone who is a teacher who, one of the negative confessions, they started like coughing and had like all this stuff stuck in their throat, and they had to like repeat themselves three times. And I remember knowing that that was one that was not true for them, and they were having a hard time saying it because, and their body was like speaking loudly. And I found out later that that was true. And the point of saying them, though, is to notice where are there blockages that need to be cleared, and then decide, do you want to commit to not stealing, to not lying, to not cheating? And if so, what do you need to change in your life so you can be aligned with this value? The end of the negative confessions ends with, I am pure, I am pure, I am pure. So Maat is this goddess that shows us what's out of balance, and what needs to be red dressed, and leads us into purity. Purity, not perfection, but like purity of the heart, of the soul, of the spirit. So I am willing to see the truth of myself and my actions in life is a really good mantra to have in Libra season. And we don't say this from a place of shame or blame. We say it from a place of maturity. Adult me wants to see myself truly, right? Doesn't want to hide, doesn't want to pretend, doesn't want to lie. Like adult me is like, wait, I want to be mature. It's only when we can see clearly that we're empowered to make better decisions. So we need to start by seeing the past clearly and the present clearly before we can see the future clearly. Our circumstances and actions in our present are the result of and/or the guide for past future trajectories. So the point of power is in the now, right? Past is behind me, future is ahead of me, but right now is when I see my present life circumstances, when I choose my present life actions, and it's the one moment that I have choice in how I show up. The other goddess is Astraea, and she's often seen as connected to both Virgo and Libra. So she is the goddess of purity, kind of similar energy with the Ma'at, but also innocence, justice, chastity, truth. She's seen as the celestial virgin. She's the starry maiden. She's the daughter of dusk and dawn. And dusk and dawn are the equivalent in the 24-hour cycle with equinoxes. So if you see the equinox as dividing the whole year into half, and they're the two tipping points tipping into the light half, tipping into the dark half, well, that's what dusk and dawn are, right? Dawn is the sun rising, which would be spring, correlating with spring in the solar cycle. And dusk is the sun setting, and that would correlate with fall. So Astraea was the last of the immortals to live among humans on Earth. And before leaving, because of humanity's low vibration consciousness, it was just getting worse and worse. They were becoming more brutal, more violent, more wicked. And she stayed as long as she could. And at a certain point, it just got to be too much for her to be able to stay and be in her vibration of purity. And so she was very sad, but she left Earth and she asked to be turned into a star. And when she left, she took the golden age of man with her, and we just kind of went downward from there. So she and all of humanity awaits for her return, awaits for the time when innocence and purity can once again live safely on the earth. And when she returns, she'll bring back the golden age and an end to human suffering. And when she returns to earth, it heralds a great shift. So, without her, we have fear of apocalypse. With her, we have hope for a golden age, and we actually need her. So, we need to prepare our hearts and minds, do the shadow work within so that we can hold her frequency of purity, of goodness. And more of us doing that creates the frequency on earth so that she can return. So Astraea is an amazing deity to be tuning into in this season ahead. So now I want to talk about the astrology of the season ahead, and boy, is it a big, fascinating season. So first of all, the sun moves into 0 degrees, 0 minutes of Libra on Sunday, September 22nd, 2024, 8:45 a.m. Eastern Time. Adjust for your time zone accordingly. When the sun is at zero Libra and zero Aries, it's the two points in the sky where the celestial equator meets the ecliptic. These are the equinox points. The sun is in Libra and it's approaching a conjunction to the south node in Libra at 6 degrees, 49 minutes of Libra for the mean node. True node is 6:38, so it's not that big of a difference. It's, what is that, like 11 seconds of a difference. Or minutes rather, sorry. And the south node in Libra, I mentioned earlier, the south node is the karmic node. So it's like what we overdo, where we're stuck, you know, it's like more magnified shadow. It also shows gifts though that carry over from previous lifetimes, But from a mundane perspective, it's often showing like what we're overdoing at, on a collective level. And then the North Node is kind of like the medicine point. So the overdoing with the Libra South Node is sweeping things under the carpet, not acknowledging things, wanting everything to look pretty on the surface, but then not addressing what's back door, people pleasing, like being nice to someone's face, but talking about them behind their back can be actually shadow Libra. It's like, let me present, be a very nice face here, but okay, behind closed doors, I've got other things going on. North Node's in Aries, so the medicine point is action, boundaries, speaking up, activism, anger, expression of it, not suppression of it or sweeping it under the carpet. The Sun is trine moon in Gemini, so we have a Sun moon trine. We actually have a disseminating moon in the chart. Disseminating is the teacher moon. It's the one where you're meant to take everything that you've learned and then share it, kind of like the harvest, which is interesting because if you were going to say a particular part of the moon cycle corresponded with fall equinox and the middle of the harvest seasons, it would be a disseminating moon because it's literally you're meant to share all that you've harvested, but on an inner level, emotionally, in terms of learning, in terms of wisdom. So a Sun Moon trine really spotlights communication, social connection, relationships. Interestingly, the moon is conjunct Sedna quite tightly, and Sedna is the goddess of the underworld. Not the underworld, sorry, the under abyss, the ocean. She's the Inuit goddess whose father was really horrible to her and like cut off her fingers and tried to drown her because there was a storm and he figured he could only save himself. It was kind of a horrible myth. I've been actually actively trying to find the pre-patriarchal version of that myth because it's very... You can just feel the patriarchal teachings in the modern way that it's described. I've yet to find it. If you actually know, please email me because I've done pretty extensive research. I think I need to connect with like an elder in Alaska, you know, but I don't know. I've never been to Alaska. I should probably go up there. Anyhow, so Sedna, interestingly, in Gemini, this can be like the underworld stuff around a mind, around our thoughts and how our thoughts create our reality and how our desire to be in the head and avoid dealing with emotions and avoid dealing with anger or grief or sadness can spin us out and create neurosis and create issues in social relationships. This can be part of, you know, what we're needing to look at in the upcoming season. The Sun links with all three outers. Trine Uranus, just separated from exact opposite Neptune, also separated and just out of trine to Pluto. Actually, the Sun at 29 Virgo, trine Pluto at 29 Capricorn, and then a few hours later, I think, the Sun moves into Libra. So the higher mind, the higher heart, the higher will and power, all activating the Sun at the equinox, in the equinox chart. So, you know, there is these higher frequencies we can bring down and in, but we do need to make sure we're not checking out, escaping, denying, going up and out, which is the shadow of the transpersonal planets. The ruler, of course, is Venus. Venus rules Libra, and Venus is at the karmic completion degree, 29 Libra, the day of the equinox, and squares Pluto, the day of the equinox. Equinox actually has strong Pluto energy because we have Sun trine Pluto, then the equinox, then Venus square Pluto. And this brings up and out what's in the shadow big time, especially in relationships, especially in work and career with authority figures, business, government, because Pluto's in Capricorn. It's a very big Plutonian day. and then actually after Venus squares Pluto, Venus moves into Scorpio, the sign of Pluto. So the goddess of love and beauty is heading into deeper, intense waters, relational waters. So that's the chart. I do want to talk about the astrology. So I just want to say anything that moves into Libra is totally making a ton of tense aspects right now, because anything that first moves into Libra will head to align with the karmic south node. Mars is in Cancer right now. And so right now, it will also at some point square Mars in Cancer. Then we'll quincunx Saturn in Pisces, oppose Chiron in Aries, quincunx Uranus in Taurus, quincunx Neptune in Pisces, square Pluto at the karmic completion degree of Capricorn. And then I actually forgot to add in there, we'll also oppose Eris, the goddess of discord and chaos. So literally anything in Libra gets like slammed. And it's kind of rocking the boat, showing you what's out of balance. The only positive aspect, actually, that anything in Libra makes that's not, you know, quick, like to the moon, because the moon moves so quickly, would be the trine to Jupiter, which is nice. It is nice, but everything else is like, whoo, you know, rocking the boat, exposing what's out of balance. If you have anything in the last degrees of Libra, especially 22 to 29 Libra, but particularly very tightly like 25 to 29 Libra, you're getting all these outer planets, you know, triggering your chart. And likely it's really bringing stuff up that's needing to be addressed. Let's put it that way. So the major astrology, there's so much going on. So I'm just going to do the highlights. The September forecast is up right now. October forecast will be up by October 1st. November forecast will be up by November 1st. But these are the highlights, and there's a lot of things to highlight. So obviously the equinox, as I said, Sunday, September 22nd, 8:45 a.m. Very big Pluto day. Sun trine Pluto just before equinox. Venus square Pluto, and then Venus moves into the Pluto sign. All on the day of the equinox. We're right smack in the middle of the eclipse portal. So we just had a full moon eclipse September 17th, 5 days before the equinox. It was a full moon in Pisces conjunct Neptune. It was a north node eclipse. So there's a destiny energy there. The next new moon in Libra on October 2nd is a solar eclipse, and it's a south node eclipse. And the eclipses are new moons and full moons that align with the nodes. So north node, there's usually more evolutionary pulling you towards growth energy. South node, there's more of like a karmic need to deal with the past kind of energy, but they're back to back. They always happen in pairs, rarely three of them. There's always going to be one north node, one south node, at least. And sometimes there's one more. So the eclipse portal amplifies the evolutionary energies, but also the karmic energies. The next full moon that's at the midpoint of the lunar cycle that starts with the solar eclipse in Libra is a full moon in Aries conjunct Eris quite tightly. I think it was about a degree, and it's on October 17th, same day the sun opposes Eris, and it's because Eris is tightly conjunct the moon. And actually the 17th through the 21st put some like five stars around this period, because we have a full moon in Aries conjunct Eris on the 17th, sun opposite Eris on the 17th, Mars in Cancer squares Eris the 21st. So Eris, this goddess of discord and chaos and pulling back the veil and revealing shadow, is like dominant in this period of time. Now I want to just talk about a few things that you want to make sure you mark in your calendar. We have very big Mars things happening. Mars actually will enter into front end shadow October 4th. Mars will go retrograde December 6th, so in the next solar gate, not this one, but we are getting the preview period. He's going to make all the major aspects for the first of three times in this first part of his front end shadow, starting with his entrance into the shadow October 4th, late evening. It's like 11:57 p.m. Eastern. He'll square Chiron the Wounded Healer October 13th. He'll align with the full moon October 17th. The sun opposes, I'm going into the Eris thing. He'll, square Chiron October 13th, square Eris October 21st, but a few days before that we had a full moon Eris with sun Eris. And then notably, November 3rd, Mars at 29 degrees, 45 minutes of Cancer opposes Pluto at 29:45 of Capricorn, the karmic completion degree. Pluto is only in Capricorn until November 19th, and he leaves for good in tropical astrology. Then he moves into Aquarius and stops going back and forth. And the karmic completion degree of any sign is like kind of magnifies whatever's karmic, not fully dealt with, needs to be brought up and out. And when you've got Pluto, the planet of purging and death and rebirth and catharsis and exposing what's in the shadow, we've got that all playing out in Capricorn, which is the sign of business, patriarchy, government, power, control, rigidity. If you know your Greek mythology and your Roman mythology, you know that Saturn or Cronos was the father of Zeus, Jupiter, and a bunch of other deities, and he was repressing his children while his father repressed him and his siblings, didn't want to have power taken from him. So it's like this big power struggle in the, I call it the karma of the father line. I actually have a blog about it. I think it's called Karma of the Father Line. I'm writing it down. If I can find it, I'll link it below if you want to read it. You can also probably just Google for that and then put Divine Harmony. Karma of the Father Line, Divine Harmony. So anyhow, the Mars-Pluto opposition is the first of three. This is going to happen three times. And the third and final one is actually going to be in Leo and Aquarius. Actually, the second one is also in Leo and Aquarius because Pluto's exiting Capricorn for good November 19th. But that's a big one. That's a big one. And it's 2 days before the presidential election in the United States of America. So Mars is the god of war and the will and the drive. And all these tense aspects, squaring Chiron and Aries, the sign of Mars, squaring Eris and Aries, the sign of Mars, opposing Pluto, power struggles, intensity, war activation. I mean, there's already that happening as I'm recording this, but it definitely can add more fuel to the fire. Mars in Cancer is very uncomfortable, just first and foremost. Mars is exalted in Capricorn, so he's in his fall in Cancer. Part of that's because the warrior and the drive, he wants to be direct. He wants to deal with things head on. And Cancer's the crab that's moving side to side, you know, and is going inside the shell and trying to hide. And so it's not the best position for him. But then add the fact that he's in front and shadow, about to go retrograde, and is triggering all these intense planets. It's just like, whew, big Mars energies incoming. Also big Libra energy. So Sun in Libra, Venus in Libra, Mercury in Libra will make all those aspects I just talked about. You know, Venus is at the tail end. So she's actually at 29 Libra and she squares Pluto and then she moves on. But the Sun is just at the beginning of the journey, and Mercury will actually just head into Libra a few days into this gate on September 26th. And is going to align with the South Node, quincunx Saturn square Mars, oppose Chiron Eris, quincunx Uranus Neptune square Pluto, one after another, one after another, rocking the boat of the Libra part of your chart. I definitely say to pay attention to September 28th through 30th, because what we have is the Sun conjunct the South Node, Mercury conjunct the South Node, and then the Sun conjunct Mercury. And Sun Mercury can be times where important insights, information, realizations come in, communications, whatever. But on the South Node, it could be very revealing of karma, of the past, of stuff we've been sweeping under the carpet, of stuff we've been ignoring, denying, not wanting to look at or address. So put some stars around those days. Let me see. There's just so much big astrology. I'm just giving highlights just so you have some things to put on your calendar, but you're definitely going to have to read through the monthly forecast. Let's see. I talked about Mars. Pluto stations direct October 11th at 29 degrees 38 Capricorn, and from October 11th until November 19th, we have Pluto direct at the karmic completion degree of Capricorn. I actually wrote a whole article on that as well. I think I forget what I called it, but it's worth reading, so I'll try and find it and post it. We do have the first two Jupiter Chiron sextiles in this gateway. The first is October 12th, Jupiter direct sextile Chiron retrograde. Then Jupiter stations retrograde October 9th and sextiles. Oh, wait, sorry, no. Jupiter stations retrograde October 9th. 3 days later, sextiles Chiron. and then happens again November 2nd, sextile Chiron. And the funny thing is, usually when two planets make three transits, which Jupiter and Chiron will, there'll be a third one next year, beginning of next year sometime, usually they're a mix. So like maybe Jupiter will be direct, linking with Chiron retrograde. The next one, Jupiter will be retrograde with Chiron retrograde. And then the third one, they'll both be direct. You know, there's like a mix-up. But these first two, they're both retrograde. Jupiter stations retrograde on the 9th. 3 days later, meets up with Chiron, who's retrograde. And then November 2nd, Jupiter and Chiron are linking again with both of them retrograde. So they're like replicating their underworld pattern. And Jupiter Chiron positively can be amazing for healing, for communicating, for taking a stand, for dealing with things head on. But they are retrograde, so we need to dive down and in. The healing needs to be an inside job first. We can't focus on other people that need to heal or external things that need to heal or be dealt with until we really get to the bottom of what is within. So keep that in mind. As I mentioned, Pluto stations direct on October 11th, and Mercury actually squares a direct Pluto 2 days later. So this, the last couple days, I'm going to say, put some stars around, is we literally have Pluto, the Lord of the Underworld, coming out of the Underworld, going direct at the Karmic Completion Degree, and 2 days later, Mercury in Libra squares Pluto. And Pluto squares are kind of like a theme this month, starting on the equinox, you know, with Venus square Pluto. But also the sun will square Pluto October 22nd. Venus squares Pluto the day of the equinox. Mercury will square Pluto, as I mentioned, October 13th, 2 days after Pluto stationing. Mars doesn't square Pluto, but he opposes Pluto November 3rd. So Pluto is definitely probably the biggest energy that's coming in. And second to that would be Eris, goddess of discord, chaos, and activism. So we definitely have a pretty powerful 1/8 of the solar year ahead of us. And, you know, inner work, shadow work, calling in the light, which I just did a whole entire class on, all really good to be immersing yourself in as we head into this time. The next solar gateway will be November 6th, 5:20 p.m. Eastern time, and there'll be a new solar gate call. So just some offerings of symbols and things to tune into at this time, journaling, reflection. A symbol actually for the equinox is the cornucopia, which is kind of like this sort of, it's not a vessel though. It's usually like a weaved thing that's got a bunch of fruit and vegetables coming out of it, overflowing. It's a symbol of the abundance of the harvest. And it's supposed to represent both a male phallic symbol and a female womb symbol. So the pointed part at the end is the phallic symbol. The hollow space that's stuffed with all the food is the female womb symbol. And it's the joining of the masculine and feminine. Colors at this time, reds, golds, yellows, oranges, and browns, which is what the leaves are turning, you know, in fall, those in the northern hemisphere. If you know your chakras, you know that red is the root chakra, orange is the sacral chakra, and yellow is the solar plexus. So at fall, when the leaves turn these colors, they're turning the colors of the lower chakras. And that's literally what happens at fall, is the trees send their energy into their roots in the earth. They go down into the lower chakra energies to kind of, you know, retain their energy for the winter ahead. At a certain point, all the leaves will be gone from the trees that are not evergreen trees. The trees will look dead. They'll get covered in snow. If you live somewhere where there's snow, it'll look desolate. It'll look like the landscape is dead. But at Imbolc, you'll start to see little sprouts maybe starting to return. At spring, you'll see new life returning to the earth. But right now, it's the death part of the cycle. So this is part of why these colors are connected to the season. So for journaling reflection, it can be really insightful to contemplate the Libra part of your chart. If you know your chart, look at where Libra is by house, both for your ascendant chart and your solar chart. So ascendant chart is like whatever your rising sign is, you know, look and see where Libra is. And typically, well, I'll go over it in a second here. And then for the solar chart, it's based on your sun. So I'm Pisces rising. For me, Libra is in my eighth house because Pisces, opposite Pisces is Virgo. I have Pisces in the first, Virgo in the seventh. The next house is Libra. Libra comes after Virgo. So I have Libra in the eighth. But for Cancer, my sun sign, Libra's in the fourth. So Libra would be eighth house, fourth house for me. And those would be the houses I would reflect on. So I'm just going to go over all the signs if you don't know this. So for Aries, Libra's in the seventh house of relationship, partnership, marriage. For Taurus, Libra's in the sixth house of work, service, and health. For Gemini, Libra's in the fifth house of romance, creativity, children, and fun. For Cancer, Libra's in the fourth house of home, family, and the past, roots and foundation. Leo, Libra's in the third house of communication, mind, siblings, neighbors. For Virgo, Libra's in the second house of money, resources, values, self-worth, and self-love. For Scorpio, for Libra, Libra's in the first house of self and personality and putting yourself out into the world. For Scorpio, Libra's in the 12th house of spirituality, surrender, loss, and letting go. For Sagittarius, Libra is in the 11th house of friendship, community, groups, hopes, and dreams. For Capricorn, Libra's in the 10th house of career, life purpose, calling, authority figures, higher ups. For Aquarius, Libra is in the 9th house of higher self, higher mind, beliefs, spiritual, philosophical, political, and otherwise. And finally, Pisces, Libra is in the 8th house of shadow dancing, transformation, intimacy, and diving deep. So you can reflect on the Libra parts of your chart and particularly reflect on where are things out of balance? Where are things being swept under the carpet, denied or avoided? Where are you keeping the peace at any cost? Where are things unfair or unjust? Where are you giving more than you're getting? Or alternatively, where are you getting more than you're giving? And, you know, the Libra part of your chart with all these Libra planets, one after another, getting hit by these big transits can be getting pretty rocked. So I would really reflect on these kind of themes and where are you being called to face things, deal with things. I will have more, you know, talking about this in each of the weekly horoscopes in the months, weeks ahead. Also, the lunar horoscopes, when they get up for the new moon in Libra, will reflect on this as well. A ritual offering is to greet the sunset. So not the sunrise, unless you're in the southern hemisphere. If it's spring for you, then go out for sunrise. But if it's fall for you, go out for sunset. Because these are the two times in the 24-hour cycle that correlate with the equinoxes. Literally, spring equinox correlates with sunrise, and fall equinox correlates with sunset. So greet the sunset, or the sunrise if you're in the south, and just really feel into the quality of the light, right? For those of us in the northern hemisphere, the sunset, the sky will still be light out, but the sun will be setting. And once the sun sets, very quickly, darkness starts to take over. And you can sit and be with the sunset and think about what you want to say goodbye to, what you want to lay to rest, what you're releasing. If you're in the southern hemisphere, you can instead think about what you're saying hello to, what you're reviving or bringing to life, what you're calling in. These two equinoxes are moments of shift of the balance of the sunlight and the night sky of the seasons, and then tipping into the opposite. So again, fall, we're tipping into the dark half of the year. Spring, you're tipping into the light half, but there are moments of sacred balance. Equinoxes are a good time to find due east and due west because the sunset and sunrise will literally be precisely east and west at the equinoxes. So it's a good way to assess what is due east and west from your landscape that you're on. Go out for sunrise and sunset and look east at sunrise, west at sunset, and boom, you'll find perfect east, perfect west. So we are complete with the teachings and we're going to head into our guided meditation. If you are ready for this, wonderful. Get yourself comfortable and, get ready to dive in. If you're not ready for this and you want to return, just pause and you can return to the meditation when you are ready. So you can do this seated upright or laying down. It's just ideal when you're doing the guided meditations that your chakras are in alignment. So that means root and crown are in one plane, either horizontally laying down or vertically sitting up, so that you have a free flow of energy through your chakras. So either position is fine. If you lay down, you might fall asleep. If you do, you might have dreams or visions, who knows? You can do the meditation as many times as you want. It's just activating your own imagination, your own inner guidance. So, do it as often as you feel to, and get yourself comfortable. And let's drop in. If you have not already closed your eyes, please do so. And let's do a few rounds of inhale through the nose, exhale through the mouth with audible sound. So inhale, exhale. And as you inhale life and vitality and new energy. And exhale, anything stuck, stagnant, old, ready to be released. Releasing any tension from the body, from the mind, from the soul, or the spirit, or the heart. Just letting go of anything and everything that needs to be let go of so you can bring yourself present to this moment right now, open and receptive to your own inner guidance and inner spirit. Bring awareness to your root chakra down by your perineum, where your sit bones touch whatever is beneath you, your chair, your floor, the earth, the bed, whatever it may be, feeling the rooting and grounding of Mother Earth supporting you, grounding you. And then feel above the tippy top of your head, your crown chakra. You might feel a little tingle as you bring awareness here to this portal that connects you to that which is above. Your root connects you to below. Your crown connects you to above, to the cosmos, to the universe, to the stars, the planets. And just feel your openness and receptivity to receiving from the elders, the ancients, the stars, the cosmos itself. Now bring awareness to your heart chakra, perhaps putting your hands over your heart for a few moments, feeling your heartbeat. Feeling this place in your body that is the bridge between above and below, between heaven and earth, between the upper world and the underworld. Just giving thanks for this body, this breath, this now moment for being you in your body on this blessed earth at this time. Sending gratitude to Mother Earth, to the heavens, to yourself, to your body. Now, in your mind's eye, visualize yourself on a path into the underworld. You're making your way down to the hall of Ma'at, the goddess of truth and justice. Anubis, the jackal-headed god, leads you along this path, going down, 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 and deeper within into the space of the underworld that is safe, that is secure, that feels good, and at the same time is deep and revealing. You now find yourself in the hall of Ma'at, the hall of two truths. And you see the twin goddesses, Isis and Nephthys, or their actual Egyptian names, Auset and Nefet, the bright twin and the dark twin. They hold the opposite poles. Isis would be associated with spring and Nephthys with fall. And between them, you find Ma'at, the goddess of sacred balance, holding the scales. The scales are golden, and they hold the heart on one side and the white feather of truth and purity on the other. Ma'at asks you to come closer, and she asks you, what is in your heart that's weighing you down, that you need to release in order to rebalance the scales? And you answer to her, sharing what is in your deepest heart. Ma'at also asks you, what is the truth you need to see, to own, and or to speak? And you share with her what is in the deepest truth of your heart. And finally, Ma'at asks, what grief or anger are you holding on to that needs to be fully felt and then released? Next to her is Amut, the being that is part crocodile, part leopard, part rhino. She is a goddess that gobbles your shadow for you. You can offer her what you're ready to release, to give up, to stop fighting about, to stop holding on to. You can let that which you're ready to release be gobbled up and returned to source. Put whatever that is into your left hand and give it to Amut. And let her consume and recycle it. Ma'at magically manifests a magical mirror, and she offers for you to look into it. She said in this mirror of two truths, you can see your greatest light that wants to be activated, embodied, released out into the world. And simultaneously, you can also see your most disowned shadow, that needs to be seen and integrated and transmuted. She said this mirror is one of both and, dark and light, higher self and lower self. And if you feel ready to look into the mirror reflection, you take the mirror from her and you bring it up in front of your face. And you look deeply in it, and first you see everything misty and cloudy. And then all of a sudden the clouds part and you see two images, two aspects of self. Greatest light, most disowned shadow. They reveal themselves clearly and they have messages to share. They may come through in form of words or symbols, sound tones or frequencies. Maybe just a knowing, a claircognizance. Receive whatever is coming in as sacred messages from your deepest self. Now look in this mirror again and see these two aspects of self move towards each other, acknowledge each other, meet, and merge. See them dance together and find union with each other, like the yin and the yang, balancing each other out. Perhaps even see how the two are related. They inform each other. They connect somehow. And as you look at this mirror reflection of the two merging, feel it within yourself. Feel your left body and right body balanced in your midline. Feel your upper body and your lower body balanced in your mid-body. Feel your mind and your heart balanced, your spirit and your physical body balanced, your masculine and feminine balanced. And just notice where the center of balance appears to anchor in your body. It can be different for each of us, the center point. So just tune in to where that is for you. And Ma'at hands you a clear quartz crystal and asks you to place it in that center, wherever this is, wherever you feel your center is. Place the crystal there. It's a clarifying crystal, an activating crystal, energizing. It's a reminder of your own sacred center, something that you can return to whenever you need to find center. You can place your hand over the etheric crystal placed in your body where your center is that you are sensing right now. Now time to go. Ma'at thanks you for visiting her in the underworld and for your commitment to your inner work, your healing and your transformation. She asks you to take whatever messages or insights that you've received here back out into your outer life and do the work of integrating them and bringing them fully into embodiment, practical manifestation in your life in the days, weeks, and 1/8 of the year ahead. You come back to yourself wherever you are, seated or lying down. Bring awareness to your heart. Bring awareness to your crown and your root. And bring awareness to your own sacred center, wherever that was for you in your body. Feeling the crystalline energy placed there. Feeling the clarity of whatever you've just received with you, deeply embedded within you and available to you in the coming season. Stay here as long as you feel to integrating. Perhaps take some time journaling about whatever came in. As above, so below. As within, so without. As the universe, so the soul. Blessed be.